Just a few days before Christmas, a popular British musician was vacationing in Cozumel after completing some work for BBC Cuba. The mother of two was enjoying a snorkel session at a popular coral reef arranged by a local tour guide when a speedboat headed towards the tourist-filled no-boating zone. With her son directly in the path of the boat, Kirsty McCall made a decision that would save a life, devastate the musical community, and call into question the safety of tourists in Mexico. Welcome back to The Carriage, travelers. Next stop, December 18th, 2000. So today's story is the story of a rock star mom. And I have to tell you, I really didn't know much about her. She's a little bit before my time, but I realized later on that I really had been exposed to her works. So without further ado, today we are talking about the tragic loss of Kirsty McCall. Let's go back to the beginning. Kirsty McCall was a British woman born on October 10th, 1959. That's 10-10, in case anyone's keeping track. You would think that would be a lucky date. And honestly, perhaps it was. I can't help but wonder if there was any excitement about the birth of a baby on a repeating day. I mean, look how we get on February 22nd or January 11th. We are all about repeating numbers. This baby in particular was born to be a star, but it's fair to say she had a little help. She was born into the music industry, the daughter of folk singer Ewan McCall and dancer Jean Newlove. She began her own path in the industry when she sang backup vocals for a band, but outshone them and ended up getting signed herself as a soloist with Stiff Records at the young age of 20, with her debut song released in 1979. Our story today isn't a deep dive into the illustrious and decorated career of this female country slash folk rock alternative artist, but suffice it to say, Kirsty found success in the music industry. Her debut single, They Don't Know, reached number 2 on the Music Week Airplay chart. She released 5 studio albums, and her list of hits include 1981's There's a Guy Works Down the Chip Shop Swears He's Elvis, Fairy Tale of New York, and her cover of the song The Kinks Days. If these song titles are anything to go by, she and I would have been friends. And if you're wondering if you've heard her more recently, perhaps you heard her song In These Shoes on Sex and the City, or my personal favorite, The Catherine Tate Show. So let's take it back to that fateful day, December 18th, Y2K. Why was she there? What was she doing? Who was with her? And what happened? Well, to summarize the answer to these questions, Kirsty was on a winter break vacation with her family and boyfriend slash musician James Knight. Kirsty had been doing some work in Cuba for the BBC and decided, since she was already in the area, this was a great way to turn the trip into kind of a fun event for the family. So she and her boyfriend James and her 2 sons go out to Chunkanab Reef. Now, if you're a cruiser like myself, you've probably seen this word before, and I will pause here to apologize for my pronunciation. I'm sure it's absolutely horrible. I'm so sorry, guys. I am trying. Now that that little disclaimer is out the way, if you're a cruiser like myself, you may have seen this word before, Chunkanab. It is very heavily pushed on cruise excursions, right? You want to go see this reef because you're out in the Caribbean and it's going to be beautiful. This section of Chunkanab Reef was cordoned off, so it was supposed to be only for divers and snorkelers. So I guess what I'm getting at here is that Kirstie had every reason to expect that she and her family would be safe on this day just a few days before Christmas. She's going out with a tour guide. She's not going off on her own. She's going to an established National Marine Park. You would think, right, there's probably few boaters in a national park where we are trying to keep things safe and protected. But unfortunately, that is not how things went for our protagonist on that day. So Kirstie and her family had decided to opt for snorkeling. So they weren't down deep in the water. They were just going across the top. And suddenly they see this boat coming towards them. It's a pretty large boat. I'm going to give you more details in a moment. She sees this boat come towards them and it looks like it's headed directly towards her teenage son. So, of course, she frantically swims over, pushes him out of the way, and he survives. But the boat hits Kirstie head on, and she does not. So the official narrative of what happened here is that Juan Jose Semyam was officially listed as the one behind the wheel of this boat. According to an article published by The Guardian, Semyam confessed to driving the vehicle even though he had no boating license and no boating experience. And it's at this point that I will share with you some of the sketchy parts of this official narrative. So the boat was owned by a very affluent person. In fact, the same Guardian article gives us a firsthand account from Ivan Diaz, the dive master of Kirstie's group. He had just surfaced when the speedboat called the Percolito bore down on the swimmer. So here's a direct quote from that article on what Ivan says he saw. Out of the corner of my eye, I saw the boat coming directly towards us very fast. I realized that it wasn't going to change course and was going to run us over, Mr. Diaz said. I heard a thump and a crack, and then I saw the stain of blood spreading out in the water. It was Kirstie's blood. McCall was almost sliced in two by Percolito's propeller, dying instantly after she pushed her eldest son out of the way. Her son's name was Jamie. He suffered some minor injuries. And then Mr. Diaz got himself and her younger son, Louis, to safety. Here's the thing. The owner of this boat was Guillermo Gonzalez Nova. Guillermo Gonzalez Nova is well known as a Mexican supermarket chain owner. So this man is, as I mentioned before, comes from a lot of money. And with that, we know, tends to come a lot of power. There are a lot of questions about who was actually behind, how shall I put this, about who was actually in the driver's seat of the boat on that day. Again, our official narrative says that it was Jose Semyam. However, he doesn't have a boating license. He has no boating experience. But do you know who does? Guillermo Gonzalez Nova. Now, he's on the boat with his two sons, his daughter-in-law, their baby, and of course, Juan Jose Semyam. It's almost like a tale of two families here. You have Kirstie and her family swimming in the water, having a lovely day, and then you have Mr. Nova in his speedboat, presumably out to have a great day with his family as well. So the question is, why was the boat in a restricted area, a place that should only have been for divers and snorkelers? Why was someone driving the boat who had no boating experience and no license? And if it wasn't that person driving the boat, why are we lying about it? Well, I can tell you one person who's been asking all these questions for quite some time, and that is Kirstie's mother, Miss Newlove. You see, Kirstie's father, Ewan McCall, had preceded her in death. However, her mother was still alive and well and survived until 2017. And it was she who started the Justice for Kirstie campaign. Now, this campaign would go on to lobby for more proceedings in the court system to question why Semyam was at the wheel, or like some people claim, why they're lying about who was behind the wheel. I just really feel for this woman because it seems like ever since she lost her daughter in 2000 at the very young age of 41, she's just been fighting for the truth. No one will just be honest with her about what happened that day, because the chances that this guy was really the one driving the boat are pretty slim. So the official narrative, right? Sim Yim is behind the wheel, even though he has no boating license, no boating experience. And our diver for the group, Ivan Diaz, claims that that is not who he saw driving the boat. To be clear, I'm looking at my notes now. To be clear, the dive master claims that Sim Yim was at the back of the boat. The back of the boat. How is he driving the boat from the back of the boat, guys? This isn't one of those little fishing boats where the motor's in the back. No, the steering wheel is at the front of the boat. So how is Sim Yim driving the boat if he's in the back of the boat? It's all just very, very, very sketchy. What's even sketchier is that no one went to prison. Okay, let me say that again. Kirstie is dead. We've lost a mother. We've lost a daughter. We've lost a fucking rock star. And no one goes to prison. So how was prison avoided? Well, by paying 1 peso for each day of the 2 years and 10 months term that he was sentenced to. So that amounted to about a 61-pound fine and damages of about 1,250 pounds. So a life for 1,300 pounds. And you see why Kirstie's mother continued to fight until her death in 2017. And you see why I found this story just so infuriating that I had to tell it. So guys, there's a lot more detail that I could go into with this story, but I really am trying to make season 2 episodes a little bit shorter. Some of season 1 was up to 40 minutes, and I'm really trying to avoid that. I will close us out by sharing that when Kirstie McCall passed, it was a huge loss for the musical community, for her family, for fans. It really hit everyone. In 2000, I think I was like 13, so I really didn't follow it. But I'm now old enough to go back and see just how impactful this loss was. So I'll close us out now with some fun facts, if you will, about a horrible situation. So fun fact number one, Kirstie McCall provided backing vocals for the likes of the Pogues, Billy Bragg, the Smiths, the Rolling Stones, Happy Mondays, Morrissey, Talking Heads, Simple Minds, Alison Moyet. I mean, it's quite a list. And I know I probably got some of those names wrong. Come on, guys. I listen to K-pop. There is a memorial bench for Kirstie McCall in London's Soho Square. The inscription on the bench reads, "One day I'll be waiting there. No empty bench in Soho Square." And Kirstie's father, Ewan McCall, wrote the song "First Time Ever I Saw Your Face," famously performed by Roberta Flack. I'd love to say he wrote it for Kirstie's mother. Wouldn't that be such a cute little, like, story to tie into this tragedy? But it was actually a different performer he wrote the song for, Peggy Seeger. And finally, Chonkanab Reef continues to be a popular tourist destination. There are probably people diving and snorkeling that reef as you listen to this podcast right now. And we can only hope that if someone disobeys the rules and goes hurtling into a no speedboat zone, that maybe someone will have to pay a price. Thank you again for joining me today on our journey to the past. This week's trip took us to the year 2000, the year a member of the musical community was tragically lost. I wasn't sure that I would come back for season 2. Season 1 was hard and I feel like really rusty at this. But I'm here and I'm glad that you all are here. We're up to 50 subscribers now, and I know in the grand scheme of things that's nothing, but to me it really is everything. So thank you all for joining, thank you for listening, and I hope to see you back here for season 2, episode 2. Don't forget to like and subscribe, travelers, and be sure to follow me on social media at Travels by Carriage, also shortened to TBC. I look forward to seeing you again soon on another carriage ride through the past. Do you like scary stuff?
Yeah.